All right. Now, Moses, he was the prophet in Israel. And the prophet, he speaks for God to men. And in that way, Moses is a type and picture of Christ. God told Moses, one day there's coming a prophet like unto you. I'll raise him up. Him the people will hear. Then Aaron, Moses' brother, God chose him to be the high priest. And the high priest ministers to God for men. Now if you look, hold your finger there in Exodus 28, come right back to it. Hebrews chapter 5. The priesthood of Aaron is a type of Christ. Christ was chosen by the Father to be the high priest. Exodus 5, beginning in verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So God the Father chose his son to be the high priest, the great high priest. That was pictured by Aaron. Now Aaron was a high priest for sinful men. And sinful men need a priest. But it's interesting, Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. And Levi was under the curse. The tribe of Levi was under a curse from way back there when Jacob was still alive. Levi and Simeon, when they were young men, they killed a man in anger. And their father Jacob put them under a curse. So their tribe is under a curse. Yet God still chose the high priest from this sinful tribe. Because the high priest is the priest for sinful people. And that's Christ our high priest. He's the high priest for his people who are under the curse. Now, we're under the curse because of the sin of our father Adam. Just like the tribe of Levi was under the curse because of their father Levi. And the specific type of Christ I want us to look at this morning is the garments of the high priest. And beginning in Exodus 28, verse 2, these are the instructions that God gave Moses, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Now the first thing that the high priest put on, these garments are for beauty and for glory, the first thing he put on is linen breeches and a linen coat. And we read about that in verse 42 of chapter 28. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now these are linen, linen coat and linen breeches. They're white linen, which is, we've seen it over and over and over again. This is a picture of holiness. And these linen breeches, this linen coat, these are the inner garments. All the other garments went on them. They're the inner garments. And that's a picture of the inner righteousness, the personal righteousness of Christ. As a man, he was perfectly righteous and holy. And these are the inner garments. All the other garments hung on these white garments, these white inner garments. Everything Christ did, everything, hung upon his holiness. Hung upon his personal righteousness that he would impute to his people. Even sinful men had to admit it. Even sinful men saw it. Pilate, three times, said, I find no fault in him. Herod was a wicked man. Even Herod said, this man hadn't done anything worthy of death. Even Herod said that. The thief on the cross, the one who said, I'm getting what I deserve, said, this man's done nothing amiss. Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's the beauty of holiness that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. So they got these white breeches and white coat on. Then on top of that, they put this blue, that's what you see hanging out here, the blue robe of the ephod. Now look at verse 31 of Exodus 28. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath, upon the hem of it, Thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A gold bell and a pomegranate, a gold bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Now this robe of the ephod, you see hanging out down here, it was all blue, and it was just made of one piece, had a hole in the middle for the head to go through. And it's interesting, this is the first time the word robe is used in the Bible. And it's the robe of the ephod worn by the high priest. And the color of that robe is all blue. There's no other color in it. It's all blue. And that blue stands in contrast to man. The first man, Adam, he was of the earth, earthy. The second man, he's the Lord from heaven. And that's this blue picture, is the color of the sky, Christ coming from heaven. And Christ is the heavenly high priest. Now Aaron, he just always ministered here below, on the earth, in this tabernacle. Christ never ministered there. Christ ministers in the tabernacle above. He took his blood before the Father. That's where he ministered, is in heaven. And Christ offered sacrifices. He offered his one sacrifice for sin for his people before the Father. Aaron just always served down here below. And on the bottom of this, there were the bells and pomegranates alternating all around the hem of it. Bells and pomegranates. And when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was out of sight of sinful man. Man couldn't see him, and that's all right, because man didn't need to see him. He wasn't doing anything in there offering his sacrifices and the blood. He wasn't ministering in there to men. He was ministering for men to God. So he was out of sight of man. Man didn't need to see him. But they could hear those bells. As long as that priest was moving around in the holy place, they could hear those bells. And when they heard the bells, they knew the high priest was alive. They knew he was still moving around, so he was alive. And if he's alive, then they knew that God was accepting what that high priest was doing for them and there in the holy place. And the sound of the bells, well, that's communication. Just like words are communication, the sound of bells can be used for communication. And the perfect example of it is clocks. You hear the bells ringing. If you listen, they'll tell you what time it is. It's a form of communication. Well, how do we know today that Christ, our high priest, is ministering for his people in heaven? How do we know the Father is still accepting the sacrifice and the intercession of Christ, our high priest? Christ is not there. Lord Jesus is not wearing bells that we can hear. So how do we know? The sound of the gospel. The sound of the gospel still rings. The gospel that you hear preached is the sound of those bells ringing. God, at sundry times in diverse manners, he spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. It's through his gospel that we hear. That when you hear that sound of the gospel, it's those bells ringing. And the bells, they rang because they hit the pomegranates. The bells didn't have a clapper inside of them that rang. They rang when they hit the pomegranate. When Dan and I were in Mexico, several mornings we had pomegranate juice. Wena would have a variety of juices and things for us to drink. We had pomegranate juice. I always chose pomegranate because I was supposed to be bringing this lesson a couple weeks ago and we got snowed out. But those pomegranates, people call them the perfect fruit. And that is the perfection of Christ. How God's elect are made perfect in Christ. And if you cut a pomegranate in two and open it up, you'll find the pomegranate seeds are floating inside the fruit there in this red juice. Pomegranates are red. And that's a picture of the seed of Christ is going to prosper because every one of them is found washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those, the perfect fruit, those pomegranates, they would hit those bells to make the sound. Well, that's the sound of the gospel, the perfect fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ ringing forth in the gospel. That's what those pomegranates and bells, when the high priest is moving around, that's the sound that it pictured. Then there was the ephod. If you look in the verse 6 of Exodus 28. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. And it shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined to the two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for memorial. Now the ephod is this sleeveless tunic with all the colors hanging on this. You see most of covering the high priest. That's the ephod. It had two pieces. It was made of two pieces, and they fastened it together with these stones, like buttons on the shoulders. And that's a picture of believers. Now, those two stones had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on them, and it's put on the high priest's shoulders. That tells us, believers, how we're in Christ by birth. Now, those names were put on those stones by birth order. Believers are in Christ by birth. But it's the new birth. It's not our natural birth. It's the new birth. And no matter what our birth order is, every believer is found on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows us the security that a believer has in Christ. Our sin is a great burden. I mean, we are a burden to be lugged along. The Lord Jesus Christ bears that burden, puts His people on His shoulders, and it's no burden to Him because of His strength. The shoulder is the place where you bear the burden. If you're going to carry something heavy, you put it on your shoulder. Well, that's Christ bearing the burden of His people. And I can promise you, you can rest assured, every one of those people that have been put on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be brought safely home because He's got the strength to do it. And we're secure there on His shoulder. Isaiah 9 says, speaking of Christ, the government shall be upon His shoulder. And I always point this out. It doesn't say shoulders, does it? It says shoulder. The strength of Christ, He puts Him on one shoulder. The whole world, the weight of that is on His one shoulder. That's His strength. And that shoulder that carries us is plenty strong. Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. That's Christ. Christ is the power of God. And Paul said, I know this. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Safe on His shoulder. Now this ephod is joined together with those stones. Was a beautiful garment. And it was a stunningly beautiful garment. It was in scriptures, sometimes it's called the curious ephod or the cunning ephod because of how skillfully it was made. And the way they made this is they took gold and they beat it into real fine plates. And then they cut those plates into like gold strings. And they wove those strings together with the fine twined linen and the blue strings and the purple strings and the scarlet strings to make this ephod. So all in this ephod, there's gold, which is a picture of the deity of Christ. There's linen, the white linen, His sinless humanity. There's the color blue. The Lord from heaven, the Savior come from heaven. There's the scarlet, which is a color of blood, but it's also the color of man. And Adam was made from the red clay, the color of man. He's a man that has blood to be offered. And then there's purple, the color of royalty. The Lord Jesus Christ is King. Now, He came to be a sacrifice for His people. Don't ever confuse Him giving Himself to be sacrificed is weakness. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think anybody did anything to Him against His will. Everything that happened to Him at Calvary, all that false trial that they had, all the accusation, all the beating, all the torture, everything that happened to Him
was according to His will. It wasn't according to the will of man. It was according to His will. Now, He gave Himself to be sacrificed. He gave up the ghost and died. But He never ceased to be king. Ever. He's king. And that purple, remember, is also, to get purple, you put blue and red together to make purple. Well, that purple is also a picture of Christ the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. The math of that don't work, but it's so. He's 100% God and 100% man. And that's what this ephod pictured. Now, God gave instruction. We read it. That ephod is never to be torn. Don't you ever tear it. And the reason for that is you can't separate Christ. You can't separate His deity and His humanity. You can't do it. He's one. You can't say, well, He's God and He's man. No, He's both. He's the God-man. You cannot separate Him. If Christ was only a man, He's the greatest imposter that ever lived. Because He said He's God. He said He was holy. He said He was perfect. He said He came to save His people from their sins. Well, if He's just a man, He can't do that. Because He doesn't have the power of God to accomplish it. But if He's only God and He's not a man, well, then He can't accomplish His purpose to save His people from their sins. Because if He's only God, He can't be a substitute for men like you and me. So He's got to be both the God-man. And together, you put God-man together in one, now you've got to save your sinners. Now you've got one who's both willing and able to save. If you put both of them together, now you've got a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Because He's a man just like we are. But He's God, so He can be the high priest. Now look at Matthew chapter 26. God gave this commandment that the ephod was never to be torn. And for all those years it wasn't. But finally it was torn. And the moment it was torn, the priesthood was over. Look at Matthew 26, verse 63. Well, look at verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. He didn't say a word. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. He rent these clothes he was wearing. He rent that ephod. He tore it in two, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we witnesses? Behold, now you've heard his blasphemy. And from that moment, the priesthood was over. There's no more high priest. Because Christ has fulfilled all those Old Testament types and pictures. He's our high priest ascended into heaven. We don't need a priest on earth anymore. Don't you ever bow yourself to a priest of this earth. I see people bowing themselves and taking that wafer dipped in wine from the priest. Don't you ever do it. There's not a priest on this earth anymore. Now, God's given us pastors and elders and teachers, but they're not a priest anymore. Christ is the high priest. And the moment that man tore that robe, tore that ephod, the priesthood was over. But this ephod, I mean, it was a glorious, cunning creation. God gave somebody special skill to be able to make this thing. And it's a picture of Christ, the God-man. You think the wisdom of God for the God-man to be born of a virgin. What wisdom? You talk about a cunning creation. There's never been another person like our Lord Jesus. Never another one. And while this priest was wearing this ephod, if he turned one way, all you'd see is gold. You wouldn't see any thread. And then the light would shine on him a different way. You wouldn't see any gold. All you'd see is thread. And that's a picture of Christ. Sometimes you look at him and you see God. Other times you look at him and you see he's man. Think about our Lord sitting there at Jacob's well. And that woman of Samaria comes up to him. He's tired and he's thirsty. He asks her to give him a drink. That's man, isn't it? But watch him a few minutes longer, and you see him tell her everything she ever did. Oh, he's God. Remember that night the disciples were out in their boat as the storm came up?
Lord Jesus was in the bottom of that boat, fast asleep. He was so tired, that storm didn't wake him up. Now the disciples, they're experienced sailors. That storm scared them to death. It didn't even wake up our Lord. He was so tired. He's man, isn't he? But watch him a minute. Disciples go down and get him and say, Lord, don't you care we perish? And he comes up on deck and he says, peace be still. Instantly, the ocean was glass. The wind quit blowing. The rain quit falling. Oh, he's God. What manner of man is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. He's God. Look at Christ at Lazarus' tomb. They came and told him. He told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. He had that discussion with Martha. He went to the tomb and he wept. Why? I don't know. I don't know if he wept because of the sorrow of the family. Could be he wept because he's getting ready to bring Lazarus back to this world. I don't know. But either way, he wept. Our Lord had emotions, just like we do. Now, they weren't sinful like ours, but he had emotions, just like there's a man standing outside that tomb weeping. But watch just a minute. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Oh, he's God, isn't he? This man is God. Then look at Christ at Calvary. You see him hanging there in bloody agony on that cross. Blood, the blood of a man. He suffered physical pain, the pain of a man. And he gave up the ghost and he died. There hung a lifeless body. Looks like a man, doesn't he? And as he died, the sun refused to shine. When he died, the earthquake, the rocks rent in two, and the centurion and the thief saw God, didn't they? That thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That thief saw God hanging there. The centurion said, surely, this man was the Son of God. He saw God. And that's what's in this ephod. Sometimes you see all gold. Sometimes you see all those glorious, colorful threads. The God-man. And this girdle was made out of the same thing. The girdle is a sash or a belt. It's not like, don't y'all say anything. Sometimes your mother might wear a girdle. That's not what this is. This is a belt. We won't talk about who does or who doesn't, but this wasn't a girdle like what we think. It's a belt. If you look in Luke 17, show you what that belt is a picture of. It's a picture of service.
Well, I would have swore I checked all these. I wrote down the wrong scripture, but you know the story when our Lord washed the feet of His disciples. And before He did, He girded Himself. And He told them that He was doing that as their servant. When He girded Himself, that's what the servant did. He girded Himself. And our Lord did that for this reason. To give us an example that we should follow. That we're to serve one another. Now you think about it. Is any service beneath us? Somebody here needs something. Well, is anything they need, is that too low for you? Could you say, well, I know they need that, but I'm too good for that kind of work. Really? Believers ought not think that way. How high and glorious is our Lord? He's so glorious heaven cannot contain His glory. And He came to this earth in the form of a servant, a humble servant, in order to redeem His people from their sins. You know, I just don't believe any service is too low for me. If saving me was not too low for Christ to come, then anything you need is in the way of a servant is not too low for me. Our Lord said the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. Then the last thing that the high priest put on, here is the breastplate. You see that square there? That's the breastplate. The breastplate is the most important and costly garment that the high priest wore. Now, it was made out of the same materials that made the ephod, the gold and all the different threads. And it was a square bag, about a hand breadth wide, square bag. And on that bag were 12 precious gems put on it. And each one of those gems had the name of Israel inscribed on it. And it was arranged by order of the king. And then golden chains, you see them here. It was attached to those onyx buttons there on his shoulders by those gold chains. And this is a picture of Christ. Now, I don't care where you are in the camp. I don't care what your birth order is in spiritual Israel. Where are you? Right over the heart of the high priest. That's where every believer is, right over the heart of Christ our high priest, loved with an everlasting love. And everywhere this priest went, he carried the 12 tribes of Israel over his heart. And everywhere our Lord Jesus went, everything he did, everywhere he went in love. Everything he did in love for his people to redeem them from their sins. And we also see the security of believers pictured on this breastplate. They got those 12 stones. They didn't get a magic marker and write the names on there that maybe they could be erased or maybe they fade eventually. They engraved those names on those stones so they'd be there forever. A child of God is held secure both by the love of Christ and by the power of Christ. They're connected to those stones on the shoulders that are a picture of His power. We're held secure by His power and His love. And that's security, because you think, well, I know He's got the power to keep me, but what if I sin and He decides to cast me out? Well, He won't do that because of His love for His people. Secure both in His power and His love. And these precious gems, if you read about what each of them are, they didn't just pick those things up in the desert where they were. They came from all over the world. Now, how'd they get those? They're out in the desert. How'd they get these stones from all over the whole world? Remember, God sent them down to Egypt as slaves, didn't He? Egypt did worldwide trade. And they got these stones from all over the world in trade. And then, after the Passover, Israel left Egypt. And those Egyptians gave them all their precious things. That's where these stones came from. They came from Egypt, and Egypt got them in trade from all over the whole world. And those stones are God's elect. Malachi chapter 3 calls God's elect jewels. Now, you want to talk about amazing grace. That God would gather His people from over the whole world and call a sinner like me one of His jewels. Now, that's grace. That's God's grace to His people. Then inside this bag were two stones. They were called the Urim and the Thummim. And Urim means light. Thummim means perfection. Well, that's Christ, the light of the world, and Christ, the only perfect man. And if the high priest wanted to inquire of the Lord, what should we do? Which way should we go? He would draw out one of those stones out of that bag, and he'd get his answer from the Lord that way. Now, how do we know the will of God? Do we need to, like, draw stones out and, you know, kind of like by lot decide what we're going to do? No. The way we know the will of God is very simple. If you want to know the will of God, look to Christ. Just look to Him. It's so simple. If you want to know what way you should go, look to Christ. If you want to know the way of salvation, how can God save a sinner like me? Look to Christ. You want to know what our message is in preaching? What should our message be this morning? Look to Christ. Just preach Him. Just whatever text the Lord lays on your heart, that's fine. But this is your message. Christ. Just look to Him. If you want to know the Father, look to Christ. He's the manifestation of the Father. Our Lord said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what way you should go, just look to Christ. Then on the high priest's head, he had what's called a mitre. And this is actually a turban that they would wrap around his head. And the Hebrew word for translated mitre is diadem, like a crown. Now, no priest was ever king. You could never be king and priest, except for Christ. He came as the king priest. Now, why could Christ be the king priest? Because he's not a priest after the order of Aaron. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was king of Salem, king of peace, and king of righteousness. And then on that turban is this golden plate. And on that golden plate was inscribed, holiness to the Lord. Now we end our lesson exactly where we began it, with holiness. The first thing the high priest put on was those linen breeches and linen coat, a picture of his holiness. And here on his mitre was that gold plate that said, holiness to the Lord. Now everything God does is done in holiness. Everything. And everywhere, anyone who looked at that high priest, what did they see? They saw that plate, holiness to the Lord. It was shining out from his mitre, from his hat, telling everyone, God's holy. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, who will be the holiness of God. Christ, our high priest, is holiness. When God saw Aaron offering those sacrifices, and Aaron came into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat, God didn't see Aaron. God saw on his mitre. He saw Christ. Holiness to the Lord. And when God sees a believer, thank God. Wayne, thank God he doesn't see me. He sees holiness to the Lord. He sees a believer in his Son, washed in his blood, in his holiness, because Christ bore all of our iniquity. Just like Aaron bore the iniquity of the people and made sacrifices for it. Christ bore the iniquity of his people. But different than Aaron, Christ took it away to where it is no more. And God sees his people as holiness to the Lord. All because of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you.